With that, I'll give you Reggie Coleman.
Wow, Reggie's such a hype man for me. Thank you, Reggie. The Reggies, yes. So my name is Reggie Coleman, but good morning, everyone. Thank you for braving this cold weather. I know it's cold outside, but hopefully the word, the singing will warm you up today. So I am the husband of an amazing woman, Kim Coleman, and the father of two remarkable young men, Michael and Sean Coleman. Today I get the privilege to speak to you because Sean, our ministry leader, and his wife, Robin Barnes, are in Guatemala. They are at the wedding of Cedric Boaz and Barbara Martinez. In fact, I assume they're probably married already, so hopefully, yes. Last week, we started to look through the book of Psalms. We will continue to look at the scriptures in that book. In fact, Sean requested that I speak specifically on Psalm 119:17-24. And that scripture says, "Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are accursed, those who stray from your commands. Remove from me their scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight, they are my counselors." I think that is important to understand the context of passages, so I did a little research on Psalm 119. We don't know who wrote Psalm 119, but it's the longest psalm and the longest chapter in the Bible. It expresses the writer's deep love and reverence for the word of God. Overall, the psalm encourages the hearer of love God's word and to live by it to have a blessed and fulfilled life. Psalm 119 is also arranged in an acrostic pattern, which means certain letters in each line form a word or words. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and this psalm contains 22 units of 8 verses each. Each of the 22 sections is given a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and each line in that section begins with that letter. This structure is a poetic device used to aid in memorization of the psalm. This section that we will concentrate is given the third letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Gemil. Here's an example of an acrostic poem using the Hebrew alphabet, Gemil. It says, "Give me insight, open my eyes to learn your law." As you can see, each line begins with that letter. It is crazy to me that I'm speaking about the book of Psalms. As many of you know, my dad passed away recently. When my dad was going through his health challenges at the end of August, at the beginning of September, I decided to read a passage from Psalms every single day. I went back to my prayer journal, and I saw that I started reading Psalms exactly on September 1st. Also, I do not know if it's coincidence, but the day that Sean asked me to prepare a sermon about Psalm 119, I just started reading that psalm that exact day. I'm grateful to be speaking about the book of Psalms because it definitely has and is helping me through a difficult time. It helps soothe my soul while still focusing on the word of God. Today, Sean especially wanted me to focus on the verse 18, which says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." As humans, we love to see wonderful things, such as the 7 natural wonders of the world. And here is the sum of the 7 natural wonders of the world. The 7 natural wonders of the world represent the largest, the grandest and some of the most majestic feats of nature. How much do we decide to see the wonders in God's word, though? In verse 18, the psalmist shares a plea for God to grant him the ability to see beyond the surface. He recognized that without God's enlightenment, he cannot see what he could and should from God's word. He decided to perceive the wonders concealed within the depths of God's law. There are wonderful things in the Bible, things that if you see them for what they are, will take your breath away, will stun you beyond anything you could see in this world, including the seven natural wonders of the world. God has given people a sense of wonder, and certain things prompt it. The new and unexpected can cause wonder. The beautiful and great can cause wonder. And the mysterious and unknown can cause wonder. God has provided for this sense of wonder by giving us his word. Many of us look for our own sense of wonder to be satisfied without looking to the word of God. Of course, we still need God's help in understanding his word. That's why I'm talking about how to experience the wonder of God's word today. The importance of reading the word is obvious. We can't hope to experience wonders if we don't know what it says. Today, I will point out two additional practices that can help us. We can experience the wonders of God's word by praying and obeying. The title of this message is Experiencing the Wonders of God's Word. And I have only two major points. The first point is we pray. So the first point we're going to start with is we pray. So here you see MC Hammer. And everyone knows MC Hammer's favorite song is You Can't Touch This. You also know about his famous hammer pants and also his dance, which I'm not going to do right now, but everyone knows the dance. Oh yeah, but we're not going to do that. But there's also another song that he's famous for. So I'm not going to continue on to rap that because I'm not a rapper, but MC Hammer said it eloquently. We've got to pray just to make it today. Even people in the world know the importance of prayer. In regards to praying in order to experience the wonders of God's word, I want to share a couple of things that are helpful to pray about. The first thing is to pray for wisdom. We need to seek wisdom, insight, and understanding from God. We need God's wisdom to help us learn the scriptures and to see the wonders within his word. In James 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. We should humbly seek wisdom from our Heavenly Father. In Psalm 119, verse 18, the verb open in verse 18 is used in Balaam's story, where the Lord opened Balaam's eyes so he could see the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. It has to do with removing a veil or a covering. This reminds us that it isn't the word of God that needs changing. We are the ones who need to open our eyes. We need to remove the veil from our faces so we can understand the word of God. We need to let the Spirit work in us. In Ephesians 1, verse 17 through 18, it states that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. Well, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Paul prayed for the Ephesians to have a spirit of wisdom, revelation, and insight so that we would know God and God's word. He wanted them to see the word, but also understand the word. We need to pray to have wisdom. We need to pray to have insight. We need to pray to have understanding of the word. You can pray a simple prayer like, Lord, I long to see the world through your eyes, to understand your word, not just with my mind, but with your heart. The psalmist doesn't need new eyes. He needs to see more clearly with the eyes he already had and to open them to see what God was saying. The second thing we're going to look at is praying for humility. The psalmist begins with a heartfelt request in verse 17 in Psalm 119. Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. He acknowledged and was dependent on God's grace. This is a wonderful request, boldly asking for blessings, while at the same time coming humbly before God. The servant probably depends upon the master for his blessing. This is why the psalmist asks for God's blessing. It was not for personal indulgence or even comfort, but so that God's word might be obeyed. We also must recognize that it's through God's goodness, not our own, that we find the strength to live according to the word. The wisdom of God's word isn't for the proud or isn't for the arrogant. It's for the humble people who know that their understanding is limited and want to learn from God's wisdom. Let's remember Matthew 18, 3-4, which states, "And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Let's pray to approach God's word and the wide-eyed and curious spirit of a child. Let's get rid of our own preconceived agendas and approach the word with open hearts that are willing to be reshaped according to God's truth. Before I continue with the next point, I want to share a little story about praying and humility. I may have shared this story before, but I don't remember. As many of you know, I'm a public school teacher in Washington Heights, which I've been doing for about 17 years. Yes, My first year was tough, which is normal for most new teachers, but my second year teaching ninth grade algebra was pretty good. So coming into my third year, I was confident, probably too confident about the school year. I thought I had figured out teaching. I wasn't prayerful or asking God for guidance through the word. Then I found out I was not teaching high school, I was teaching seventh grade. I was still pretty confident, or some might say arrogant, that I figured out this teaching thing and that everything was going to be good. Was I wrong? It was the most challenging year of my teaching career. I should have known it was going to be tough when many of the teachers from the year before who had taught these kids left the school. And one teacher changed his whole profession and became a librarian. That should have gave me a hint that this was going to be tough. Every day was like a roller coaster. I don't mean the ones that you have, it's ups and downs, and you come off feeling excited. I mean the roller coaster where you are scared to get on, and when you get off, you just feel sick and want to puke. That was my life. It was horrible. I will give you an example of how bad it was. Today, I will teach you about a game the students played called Lights Out. So in my classroom, I had two doors. The back door was broken, so kids would open it whenever they wanted to. Unfortunately, the light switch was in the back. So, man, I'm just thinking about it now. It's bringing up bad memories. So when you turn off the lights in this room, it turns totally pitch black, and you couldn't see anything. So there were times when random students who were walking down the hallway would open the back door, turn off the lights, and they would shout, "Lights out." When this happened, in the darkness, students would throw books, would throw calculators, and everything. It was total chaos. All I could do is every time I heard the word "lights out," was duck. It was crazy. And this is just one incident that I'm sharing. So whenever I hear those words lights out, you may see me do this, so. Then one day, the principal came into the classroom to talk with the students about their behavior not only in my class, but in other classes. I thought that was gonna work. Guess what? They didn't listen to her, they actually laughed at her. When I saw this, I was disheartened and I wanted to quit teaching. I told my principal I didn't think this was for me and that I wanted to quit because it was too much. I thought she was gonna say, bye bye, Felicia. But she said, Mr. Coleman, I know that you're a man of faith. Just pray and this shall pass, but don't give up. Since that day, I pray every day before I walk into school for wisdom, for guidance, for courage and humility by asking God to help me with teaching. Because of my lack of humility and my unwillingness to look to God for help by praying and getting guidance from the scriptures, I almost missed the wonders of teaching. That year was still challenging, but it was manageable and not overwhelming. I didn't want to quit anymore, and I'm still a teacher here today. In Matthew 19, verse 26, it says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I meditate and recite this scripture in my head every day for 14 years before I walk into the school building. It just reminds me, with God, I can do anything. I also need to know that I need to rely on God and be humble. And because of this scripture, again, I'm still teaching today. It has opened my eyes that everything is possible with God, even teaching students who say, lights out. Point two, we obey. Is it important to read and pray about God's word? It's equally important to actually obey in order to experience the wonder of God and the wonders of the word. We need to ask God to help us obey his word. In John 14, verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commands. Obedience to the commands of God is simply an expression of the love that we have for him in our hearts. Throughout Psalm 119, the writer begs for God's guidance and strength to stay true to his word. That reminds me of what James, one of the brothers of Jesus, wrote about listening and doing in James 1, verses 22 to 25. It states, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. As we think about obedience, it sometimes helps to go back to the commitments that we made when we first decided to make word our standards. Here I have some questions for you to consider. Question one, am I still wholeheartedly seeking God? Question two, am I reading my Bible consistently like the Bereans in Acts 17 and praying to grow in my love for God and others? Question three, am I still a teachable disciple who desires to learn how to be more like Jesus as I deny and die to my sinful nature? Question four, do I have someone in my life who is teaching me to be more like Jesus? Question five, am I still fishing for men, focused on the mission of being used by God to help seek and save the lost? There's five more, these are the top 10. Take a picture, okay. Yeah, take a picture if you want to. Patrick, I'll go back for you. No problem. Question six, am I still walking in the light, confessing my sins and shortcomings to get prayers and help? Seven, am I still committed to church gatherings, meeting together with my brothers and sisters? Am I grateful for my salvation, which came at such a sacrifice, the death of Jesus? Is Jesus still the Lord of every area of my life? My heart, my possessions, my relationships, my time, and my mission? Is my life become a reflection of God's word? Each of us have to examine our own hearts. If there are any areas that we can't answer yes to, then just like Jesus commanded the church in Ephesians in Revelation 2, verse 5, we need to repent and do the things you did at first. What is so great is that we can be thankful that God is about change and he's not about condemnation. If you are visiting with us today, ask the person who invited you to look at some scriptures with you about what it means to obey God's word and make it the standard of your life. For me personally, when I look at these questions and reflect on them, there are times when I can't say yes to some of them. There are times when I can't say yes to any of them. It is hard to obey everything. I'm just grateful that I can continue to grow and change in certain areas. One of the areas of many that can be hard for me is making Jesus Lord of everything in my life because of my independent and selfish nature. The scripture that helps remind me to make Jesus Lord of everything is in Luke 9, 23-24, which says, "Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." We could all agree that there are challenges that come from obedience. There will be struggles and sometimes even persecution. The author in Psalms 119 even acknowledges the difficulties of living a godly life, facing opposition and facing mockery. Thankfully, God strengthens and empowers us to meet every hard thing that comes our way. As 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear." Instead of focusing on the challenges of obedience, let's focus on the benefits of obeying God's word. As the writer in Psalms 119 notes, following God's commands is portrayed as bringing wisdom, bringing joy, bringing protection, and bringing life. God's life has the power to transform our lives if we allow it to do so. I'm so grateful to have God's word as the guide in my life. Although I don't obey perfectly, I know that I wouldn't have the wonderful, blessed life that I have without it. I wouldn't have a godly wife and two sons that I adore. I wouldn't have the chance to see my dad repent, get baptized, and finish the earthly race strong and be excited about eternity. I wouldn't have a job as a teacher, which I love, even when they say lights out. If I didn't let God's word and prayer guide me, I would have quit the third year and probably not even started teaching. These are all gifts from God. God transformed me from being a man always chasing money, chasing my selfish desires, and a man who thought there was the letter I in team, or at least the letters M-E for me. God's word transformed me from a man who constantly followed my sinful desires to a man who is trying to let God's word guide him and counsel him. As we end, let's remember James 1, verses 16 through 18. It says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." Let's continue to live by God's word, the word of truth. Let's earnestly seek after treasures and wonders of God, which he does hide in his word. A quote that I saw on the internet sums it up. If you see the wonders in the Bible for what they are, they will stun you beyond anything you can see in the world. There are wonderful and wondrous things in the Bible. We just need to open our eyes and pray to see those things. Let's remember to pray and obey God's word. Remember to pray and obey to make it today. In doing so, I pray that God will empower each of us to live a life of devotion and obedience as we experience the wonders of his word. Amen. We will now transition to communion. If you do not have a communion cup, please raise your hand and one of the ushers will give you one. So we're going to look at one scripture before we take communion together. In Ephesians 1, verse 7, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." As we take the bread and the fruit of the vine, let us remember all that Jesus has done for us. There is no possible redemption outside of Jesus and his redeeming blood. It was Jesus' total payment for the sins of man. It was God's wonderful gift to us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this time. I want to thank you for your son, Jesus. I want to thank you for your word, Father. Father, without Jesus, we would not be here. Thank you for his sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for all the wonderful things that you show us in our life, Father. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Father, I just want to say how much we love you with all our hearts, all our soul, and all our mind. And as we take the bread and the fruit of the vine, let us examine our lives and just remember and reflect on all you do for us. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.